Welcome into another episode of the In and Out Sports Podcast. Simpsonator back at you.
Let's go. Dub City is back in NFL Week 1. Wow.
Yes, sir, man. Every single game feel like it hit. Every slot at least had one or two games that were absolutely awesome. From the first game on Thursday night, Bucks-Cowboys, yep, to yesterday night or Monday night's Raiders-Ravens overtime. A little bit of a craziness at the end there. But, man, sure, all of those games were awesome. I missed football. And like we talked about, man, we're NBA and NFL fans, for those of you guys who are new to listening. But this NFL Week 1 and NFL playoffs, they hold a special heart in our lives because it's just absolutely the excitement. It's so – you don't know what happens. It's the game of inches, man. And as cliche as it is, NFL proved that once again this week.
And it feels like a holiday, bro. Like, it's almost like I'm walking around Sunday. I'm like, man, happy football Sunday. Happy football, yeah, Sunday. So it was great to have football back. The NFL, they started off Thursday night with a great game. Cowboys, yeah, and Bucks. You know, no one really knew what to expect from the Cowboys, being on HBO Hard Knocks. You know, everyone's kind of been tuning in for the Cowboys. So it ended up being a great game. Came down to the wire. Not really much of – if you were a fan of this game, if you like – offense, throwing the ball, both of these quarterbacks. I mean, Dak Prescott threw for 58 times, Tom Brady 50 times. Is this a sign of what the new NFL would look like coming? Maybe. But maybe, you know, not something that's probably the most passing attempts both quarterbacks will have the rest of the season. But, I mean, this was offensive and defensive battle for the Cowboys running game versus the Bucks linebackers, and it was a great game.
Yeah, and definitely, like, Dak throwing 58 times. His first game back, obviously had that terrible ankle injury against the Giants last year. Also hurt his shoulder. And Do you really want him throwing 58 times? No, but he got paid. He's that franchise guy. He looked awesome. He had a lot of dump downs, but he had some good intermediate and some deep throws, was consistently moving the chains. He wasn't the reason they lost, which is always a good sign to be if you're a Cowboys fan. You know, look, you have your quarterback back and he seemed fully healthy against a great Bucks defense. But there was some rust, right? I mean, both quarterbacks threw a pick that really wasn't their fault. Receivers dropped it, whether it be Fournette on a screen route or a deep middle throw to Lamb. And then, you know, there were some fumbles as well that probably shouldn't have happened. Godwin late, but that just happens with Week 1 type of scenarios where, you know, you just work through them and you get it better by Week 3, 4, and you'll kind of clean up some of those mistakes.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're a fantasy owner for a lot of these players, I mean, you're happy with the outcome. Dak shows up. Amari Cooper has a huge game. With 12 catches, 139, two touchdowns, but most importantly, 16 targets, which is crazy. CeeDee Lamb also goes off, has a great game, 15 targets. And then Michael Gallup goes down with an injury, and he's probably going to be out for these next couple weeks. So, you know, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, these are going to be top 10 wide receivers, and that's what you drafted them as. So they're going to perform. Now, the running backs is a little bit of a scratcher. Zeke did nothing. 11 carries, 33 yards. It just – they couldn't get it going. The linebackers for the Bucks are just too good. And, you know, a lot of people are going to start panicking on Zeke. If there's somebody in your league who's panicking and saying, hey, Zeke's on the trade block, make the move. Yeah. Take him. You know, sell low, sell high. Do whatever you got to do to get him. How about Antonio Brown? I mean, wow. I mean, that looked like Pittsburgh Steelers Antonio Brown, right? What did he have? Yeah, 121 in a score.
Yeah, he had like three catches in a row on a drive, and then it coupled and finished off with a Gronk touchdown. And you're just like, damn, we haven't even mentioned Gronk yet. Mike Evans didn't get a catch until like the second quarter. And it was it was Antonio Brown starting off high. I think he had five catches in the first half. Gronk had another couple scores. It was just these guys were on full form in terms of offense. Their defense was a little shaky, like I said, but they held Zeke in check. And they forced Dak to beat him with his arm. And even Gallup, before he got hurt, was having a really good game.
Yeah, for sure. And then Chris Godwin, 14 targets. And then, like you mentioned, Gronk, 8 targets. So, I mean, these guys, I don't know if a lot of people are starting Gronks, whether you're in a two tight end league, maybe. But maybe this is a sign to what this offense is going to look like. Leonard Fournette didn't do much. I don't know what that running back situation is going to look like. But think about it as Tom Brady teams. first half, second half. I mean, they start to run the ball more heavy second half. So maybe these are guys that their value is not going to be as great in the beginning of the season, but you can make a deal and get somebody on, you know, get somebody that will help you win the championship. Yeah. So let's go ahead.
And it's mostly, I think, because like the game plan, like I said, Fournette dropped a screen pass that ended up being picked, and then Ronald Jones fumbled. So when Bruce Arians doesn't play that shit, he'll bench you for the rest of the game.
That's what I was going to say. Bruce Arians, like, that's a very short leash. You fumble, bro. Yeah. Like, you might not play next week type right. shit. Like,
but like, don't be scared of Ronald Jones owners. He'll be right. fine. It's just like, you know, it's a one game punishment. You're in the doghouse right. and then you'll be back week two as a starter. It's all good.
For sure. For sure. Let's transition to one of the biggest kind of weirdest games of the week and a surprising outcome, the Jaguars versus the Texans. You know, Texans pretty much beat up on the Jags, 37-21. Trevor Lawrence's debut. Not bad. Another quarterback that throws over 50 attempts, which was like, what the hell? 332 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. The Texans, they just do what they do. Tyrod Taylor manages the game, doesn't make mistakes. And they really kind of beat up on the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to be expected. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him and Trevor Lawrence. And it's his first regular season loss in his life, which was an interesting, like, just right. to play football that long, to never have lost in high school, college, in the regular season, and to suffer your first loss. It was to be expected, but just maybe not necessarily. I think the Jags are going to have a tough road ahead.
For sure. And the players that drafted James Robinson, I mean, he only had 25 yards. I know that's a lot of panic, too. I'd say wait, though, because if you look at the, you know, snaps, he outsnapped Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is going to be a thorn in James Robinson owners all year long.
Bolter.
I mean, my God. But it's going to be very interesting to see. You know, James Robinson is not going to have the carries that he had last year. It's just not going to happen. It's a little bit of a concerning sign where, you know, your top guy only gets 5 carries and he gets out carried by Hyde by 9, which is weird. Marvin Jones scores, DJ Chark scores late. So those are guys that are maybe flex plays down, you know, you could continue playing. They're going to throw the ball. This team is going to be down a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jags, the Texans, the Lions, they're going to be down. They're going to be throwing, and there's garbage points to be made to be get there. And that's a lot in fantasy. Another thing that stands out, Mark Ingram, 26 carries. What the hell?
I don't understand.
You know, they, what? So
they traded, you know, Hopkins for David Johnson, right. and then Mark Ingram comes in. And
yeah. I just don't know what you make of that Texas backfield. I wouldn't want anybody on that in that backfield. Brandon Cooks is somebody that I have my eye on because think about it. Like I just said, they're going to be down a lot. They're going to be throwing a lot. And he's 5 catches, 132 yards. He's going to get that. He's going to get those opportunities every week. And that might be a player that may be traded come trade, you know, middle of the season to a contender. So keep an eye on Brandon Cooks as well. Any other thoughts? Oh, by the way, are the Texans the only team in the division with a win?
We're just going to move on. We're just going to move on.
Next topic, right? all right. So we got the Chargers and the Washington football team.
Good, one of the best games of the week.
One of the best games of the week. A tight one. 20-16 Chargers. What did you think of Justin Herbert's performance, man?
Dude, oh my God. That last drive is all you need to know. They were up 20-16. They had to kill the clock against what you say is the best defense in the league. I say it's up there, but not the best. But right. he had 4 third-down throws that were absolute beauties, and they were all 3rd and 6 and above, it felt like. Maybe 3rd and 5 and above. It was mid to long third downs, just absolute bullets. Keenan right. Allen's precision route running, but even the other receivers, Eckler ran over a guy and also scored a touchdown. Like, that Chargers team is dangerous. It's why I picked them as a wild card spot.
Yeah, but for sure.
That Washington football team still looks good. I mean, Fitzmagic went down early. Heinicke stepped up. I think he's capable. It's not that much of a downstep from Fitzmagic, but you need those types of big wins and potential tiebreakers because of strength of schedule.
For sure. And, I mean, Eckler gave you a decent game. He gives you a touchdown. Keenan Allen, 9 catches, 100 yards. But a name that a lot of people forgot about, they're not thinking about, Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, 8 catches, 82 yards, but most importantly, 12 targets. And that's an offense that's going to throw. So that's going to be very interesting. In regards to the Washington football team, Antonio Gibson, I think a lot of Antonio Gibson owners are kind of scratching their head, a little worried he fumbled. But pump the brakes a little bit, man. 20 carries. I mean, if you're getting that much work, think about it now. No Fitzmagic. They're going to have Heineke in the backfield. What are they going to do? They're going to run the hell out of the ball. They're going to dump it. They're going to screen it. And he's a receiving type of back. So, you know, you should see his performance sort of picking up from here.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Anytime a backup comes in, you feel like the running back and the number one receiver, all of a sudden their production goes up, it feels like, because yeah, you have to rely on your A players. So even Scary Terry, he had that amazing catch where he was like kind of going flatting sideways on the right sideline to catch it.
Crazy,
so
right?
That was a big play for him. He also had a good game. And, you know, I think that even with Heineke, he'll be fine going forward.
Yeah, I agree. Watch out for the Chargers. Like we said, we predicted them to be a wild card team. You know, mess around and that team figures out, you know, something good on defense. Watch out, man. That stud at quarterback. What happened to your Colts, man? We're going to Seahawks Colts. Did you watch most of the game? Kind of talk to us.
Of course. I always watch the Colts games. It started great. 8-minute drive. We're in the red zone. And then the announcer says, oh my God, this is the best start the Colts can ask for all season.
And jinxed it.
Immediate 3-and-out. We kick a field goal and we pretty much suck for offensively for a while. You know, the injuries seem to have came up to us. Like Quentin Nelson looked a little rusty. The line looked a little shaky. And no Eric Fisher yet. Wentz was getting hit a lot. He was holding the ball a little bit too long for my liking, but he was also just not having a lot of time in other areas. Seahawks pressure really came up, and we couldn't really get the ball moving. The defense couldn't stop Russell Wilson on a couple of long third downs.
Oh, my God.
He scrambled for a 3rd and 13 early in that first or second drive. That
backbreaker.
Those are always backbreakers for a defense, so can't hit him. He's always one of those guys where it's almost impossible to bring down. He'll run out of bounds or slide very well. It's you just want to hit him, but you can't. He went off, and then we had some bad collapses. That last right before the first half, Tyler Lockett gets wide open. Can't afford that at all. And so
with the Carson Wentz project, is it more, you think, just rustiness on the line or on the O-line, or is it more Carson Wentz, or you want to still see more?
I still want to see more. I think Carson Wentz held it on a little bit too long on some place for sure. And just like, you know, throw it away if you don't have it. That's don't take a sack. Don't get a holding call. Like don't extend the play when you can't. Live to play another down, I think is a especially until Eric Fisher comes back and, you know, Quentin Nelson gets fully healthy.
Right.
And that's my approach. But you know, first, he didn't have a practice pretty much all year because he had the foot and then COVID. So and it's against what a lot of people are predicting, a division winner and a potential Super Bowl contender. So I expect to go, you know, 2-3, 3-2 in the first five. I'm not too upset losing to the Seahawks today.
Russell Wilson, 18 for 23 for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was killing us.
Some of this stuff may look fluky. Like, we'll get to the whole Packers Saints game, Jameis Winston stat line. But I don't think that's fluky. That's efficiency. That's just I am dissecting you and picking you apart. So, very interesting, man. Tyler Lockett, huge game. Jonathan Taylor, before we move on, I mean, a lot of people drafted him pretty high. I mean, he was fairly busy. 17 carries. He got 6 catches for 60 yards. That's a guy that, you know, you could expect for him to get 100 total yards, at least at minimum, when it comes to receiving and rushing. And then you throw in a couple of touchdowns. So, you know, still he's going to be a stud if he continues to get what he's getting.
Yeah. And in PPR leagues, Nyheim Hines is also a decent play. He always seems to catch the ball at least 3-4 times. So there's 4 points for at least 40 yards. There's 8 right there.
6 catches on 48 yards. But most importantly, he led the team in targets, 8 targets.
Yeah, he always will. He plays receiver. He plays in the backfield as well. He's kind of an all-purpose back. So Nyheim Hines for PPR leagues, I'd put as a flex.
Absolutely. Good call. We'll transition to the Jets versus the Panthers. Another good game to watch. The Panthers were sort of up. The Jets couldn't really get anything going the first half. We get Zach Wilson's debut. He does throw 2 touchdowns and a pick. Sam Darnold, we were expecting for him to really try to go off and torch these guys. I mean, he had an okay game. You know, great play calling. They kind of just protected him in a sense. McCaffrey just does McCaffrey things. My God.
This dude's ridiculous.
98 rushing yards, 89 receiving yards, 9 catches on 9 targets. That guy is a machine.
Yeah, yeah, that's 180 yards. And now that the draft has happened, I'd like to put you on the spot. Were you able to convince the commission to not pick McCaffrey number one?
I could not. So the commissioner in our league had the number one pick. I was eyeing CMC. I've been trying to brainwash him for a month now to, you know, I was selling him Dalvin Cook. I even started selling him Austin Eckler. Like, I was just selling everything. But he did end up taking CMC. I got Kamara. So we'll see how that all pans out. We'll see. For the Jets side, I want to point out Corey Davis. He had 7 targets, 5 catches, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That right there, he's going to get a lot of burn. With the Jets being good, they're going to be down a lot of games. They're going to be throwing. That's a guy to keep an eye on. If, you know, you have him, if he's available, go get him. If not, you know, maybe you can – that's a guy that may sort of win leagues for you. So keep an eye on him as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Are the Panthers legit? Do you think that that was a solid performance or it's a little spotty?
I mean, it's a good performance. But, again, season opener against the team that was a bottom feeder in the Jets. How much can you prove in that type of situation, right? The other teams in Division One more convincingly, we'll talk about them. You know, Saints, and we already talked about the Bucs game-winning drive. And their win. So I'd say they have been more convincing than the Panthers.
Yep. All right, cool. So we'll transition to one of the more exciting games, an overtime game, the Minnesota Vikings versus the Bengals. This was up and down. This was very fun to watch. I was watching a lot of this game as well. Kirk Cousins, 49 attempts, which is pretty high, 351 yards. Dalvin Cook, another day in the office for him, really. I mean, not really there for the yards, but still 61 rushing yards, 43 receiving. Another guy, minimum 100 yards total. And, you know, you'll mess around and get you a couple of touchdowns. I want to celebrate the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I kept saying, watching this, I was like, holy shit. Did the Cincinnati Bengals arrive? Like, they have their quarterback. They have their receiver. Jamar Chase catches a bomb and scores after hearing, you know, after hearing all that bullshit in the preseason about the drops.
Did you hear his excuse though?
Yeah, about the college football. Yeah, that was a little concerning. I was like,
Everybody was like, oh, so that's why you dropping. But nah, he caught a big one there, and you know him and Joe Burrow, obviously former teammates in college. They're going to be good together. They already have that connection. It's definitely why the Bengals drafted him, I think, high, just to get you that kind of comfort net. The Colts did the same when they drafted Kobe Fleener back in the day with Andrew Luck. So.
Huge game for Joe Mixon, 29 carries, 127 yards and a touchdown. You know, hopefully he can, he's a good player, but he tends to always get injured. So hopefully he'll stay on the field this year and really help this team kind of, you know, surprise people in a sense. Justin Jefferson only had 71 yards. Are you worried? 5 catches on 71 yards.
It's tough. I mean, like, you know, he can get streaky in a way where, you know, he's going to catch a big bomb from Kirk Cousins or he won't, and he'll still get you 60, 70 yards either way. It's just, will he get the extra 30 yard touchdown? That's 9 points for you. Right. I think I'm not worried. He's still a WR2. I mean, you plug him and play him. He's pretty much matchup proof.
Starter every week. Right. Yeah. We'll see what the Cincinnati Bengals do, man. That's a team that everyone needs to keep their eye on.
What you saying? You're trying to think you're going 9-8 or more? Going to be plus 500.
I don't know if Cincinnati gets 9 wins, but you know, getting 6 wins is an improvement for them. Getting 7 wins is an improvement for them. So,
you think they're going to get 6 wins?
I think they'll get 7, 8, maybe 8.
Wow.
If they could stay healthy,
they're knocking on 500.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, they got three powerhouses in that division. That's 6 games. I was going to say
they might get beat up. They might get beat up on their division a little bit, but I feel like they'll stand toe to toe with them. We'll see.
We'll see.
I was impressed. I watched a lot of that game. I was fairly impressed. Another head scratcher game, the Cardinals versus the Titans. Not a good.
You think that was a head scratcher?
I think so, man.
They thought they were.
I thought, you know, I thought that would be a very good game, a very close and interesting game. But it just cracked open. You know, the left tackle for the Titans was having a bad day at the office, and Chandler Jones went nuts, and Tannehill was practically running for his life the entire game. Did you catch any of that game?
Yeah, I mean, I was catching some highlights. I was watching both the Colts and the Cardinals Titans because once it was kind of apparent we were going to lose that game, I tried to make sure our other division teams would as well. And Chandler Jones started off on fire, 3 sacks in the first quarter.
Oh, my God.
He's a five mess. In the game. Man, it was, they had 6 overall as a team. Definitely in my week's review, that's the biggest statement win because that NFC, the NFC West is going to be the murderer's row, the hardest division, right? Yeah. All 4 teams won, which just goes to show you is going to be a battle. So
for sure,
some people's division, pick the Titans, some people's Super Bowl prediction in your case, they're a tough test, but I think the Cardinals, Kyler Murray was elusive. He had that one play where he like went back 3 times and fired a dart.
Broke somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. He was good. Hopkins was big. I mean, I'm not worried about the yards. I think he'll get the possession touchdowns. He'll probably finish with 10 touchdowns and probably 1200 yards this year, which is solid WR1 production.
Yeah.
I think that Edmonds was good. The running back, split wasn't as 50-50 as I thought it would be in terms of productive. It was a little bit more skewed to Edmonds, which was good. So I think the Cardinals, like I said, I predict them in the playoffs, and they've proven it.
Right. So just to kind of touch base on those running backs for fantasy-wise, Edmonds and Connor. James Connor got actually 16 carries. Edmonds actually got 12. But the running back that I would prefer in that backfield is Edmonds. And why? Mm-hmm. Because he has that receiving game. He had 4 catches of 43 yards. So, I'd prefer the upside of Edmonds. But James Connor looked pretty solid. He looked – at one point, he grabbed the ball. I was like, who is that? He looks huge. And I was like, shit, that's James Conner. Like, I didn't even realize it was him. But looks like the Cardinals are cooking something up here, man. And they, like I said, that's another team. If they can get right on defense, watch out. For the Titans, Derrick Henry, just scratch that. It's one of those games you just chalk up. Like, we're going to get into Green Bay. You're just going to just whatever, bro. Like, that's not going to happen again, I don't think. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, they were not busy. But the only thing that I would say that was convincing enough was the fact that A.J. Brown got 8 targets. Julio got 6. Julio did almost – he dropped the touchdown pass. He didn't necessarily drop it, but it was good defense. But, that could have changed some things with him getting a target in the end zone. So
Are you worried about Julio? We talked about the drop touchdown. It's always hard for him to seemingly get into the end zone. And then Vrabel calling him out after the game, his own head coach. How worried are you, Julio supporter?
I'm not. I love me some Julio, but I think this was just a weird game for them. Game script is just weird. Game flow is weird. They couldn't get anything going. So I just kind of chalk this up and just give it an L and just move forward. I think you'll see him getting more productive. I don't think he'll blow up for like a crazy game. I don't think he has it in him anymore, but we'll see. We will see. I think Titans bounce back. I don't know who they play next week, but that was a pathetic performance. They definitely need to bounce back.
All right, let's call a timeout for Sims' Stats, sponsored by nobody.
All right, we all know that NFL is America's sport. But just to put things in perspective, you look at TV ratings, and I know a lot of people stream, and that doesn't really count, but it's not really a extremely high used number. But I wanted to just to highlight how impactful Week 1 of NFL is and how desperately we all miss NFL football. So the NBA playoffs averaged 4.25 million views per game, and that's including the finals. The finals were way higher. It was almost 10 million. It was about 9.9 million viewers every single game. And while that number is pretty high, you look at what Thursday night kickoff was, Tampa versus Dallas, and it was 15.9 million views. And then even Monday night football was extremely high as well. Monday night football was 15.29. So both of those getting 15 plus million, almost 50% more than the NBA finals. It just shows you, this is just week one. And I mean, there are great matchups, yes, but this is just week one and we're just getting started for NFL season.
Cool. 49ers and Lions. This was a blowout.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. 41-33, 49ers, Lions. Jimmy Garoppolo comes out, does his thing, bro. Like, you know, there's always questions about mm-hmm. Trey Lance. He came in and threw a touchdown as well, but 314 yards, one touchdown. Mozart goes down, and now mm-hmm. Elijah Mitchell comes in and runs all over the place. 104 yards, one touchdown. That's probably your number one waiver ad going into the week. And then your boy, I drafted Deebo Samuel, which was beautiful. 9 catches, 189 and a touchdown. He was a complete monster out there. And I think that's going to be continue. You know, that's going to continue for them.
Yeah, with Emmanuel Sanders leaving, I think, you know, his productions, he was always a favorite of Garoppolo and obviously got hurt a little bit. But
yeah,
he's a big guy. He's strong, and he can catch that wide receiver screen. So in a PPR league, he might get a couple of those catches for like 5 yards, but it's still 2 points for you. So
right,
chalk him
and
up.
And then for the ones that drafted Brandon Ayuk, he only played 15 snaps. Why, I don't know, but I know he's coming back from injury, but I don't know if that's something that's going to be going forward or just Deebo was just on fire and he was just catching everything, but he had a monster game. Jared Goff threw for 57 times.
Yeah, I mean, they were down 3-4 touchdowns, so he had to do something. TJ Hawkinson and came through.
Monster
so
game. Yeah.
Whoever has a tight end league, I know yeah. the big names, Kelce, even Gronk is considered a big name just because, you know, who he is and his touchdown production. But Hawkinson, I'm sure, is already picked up. But just try to make a move on him if some people want to sell on the yeah. Lions. He came through with another great game.
For sure. And so these three names, like you just mentioned, Hawkinson, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, these guys are going to be down all the time. They're going to be busy consistently. Garbage time, not garbage time. These are guys that you want on your team. Hawkinson got 10 targets. DeAndre Swift got 11 targets. Jamal Williams got 9 targets. They are the offense, and they're mm-hmm. going to have to throw. So yeah. these are
two of those guys are running backs.
Two of those guys are running backs, right. And Williams, I think he's a top 20 running back. These guys are both flex plays, and you can yeah. play them every week, and they are going to do something for you. So very interesting. Niners eke a game out, and they needed it because, like you said, everybody in that division won a game.
Yeah, they probably won the least convincingly, but a win is a win.
Right, a win is a win in the NFL. That's for damn sure. Steelers-Bills, 23-16. Ugly, sluggish, mm-hmm. defensive, almost like a playoff vibe to it. Game was close until the Steelers got a block on a punt, and yep. everything kind of changed after that. Pretty pedestrian by the Steelers offense. I mean, Big Ben – whatever, 18 for 32, 188 and a touchdown. Yeah. Okay debut by Najee Harris, only 45 yards.
Dropped a big pass.
Know, dropped the pass. The only thing that kind of stands out to me is Deontay Johnson. He got 10 targets. So you can see if that will remain consistent, and then maybe that's the receiver that you want out of the three.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a slugfest. The better story was, you know, the Steelers defense able to corral that Bills offense. But, yep. you know, Bills' defense were in good form as well. I know the Steelers' offense isn't as vaunted as it used to be with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon, but you throw Big Ben in a close game and, you know, anything can happen. So
anything could happen.
It was an interesting game, yep. but it was a good one.
It was. I think it was a reality check for the Bills, too. I think the Bills, you know, are kind of feeling themselves a little bit. It was a nice pop in the mouth. Maybe they needed this at this time to kind of, you know, wake up in a sense and be like, yo, you know, we're not just going to cruise through here and meet up with the Chiefs. So mm-hmm. in regards to the Bills offense, what I kind of want to point out, Stephon Diggs, he had a quiet game, but he had 14 targets. Cole Beasley did Cole Beasley things, 8 catches, 60 yards. We're just going to breeze through this one, bro. I don't really want to. Eagles, Falcons, 32-6.
No, we're staying on this one. You were in Philly, rumor has it, with some of our listeners up there, while your hometown Falcons were getting absolutely
completely
destroyed.
Completely embarrassed me. I'm in Philadelphia for the weekend. I'm watching this game with a lot of my cousins who are huge Philadelphia fans, and it was a complete shit show, bro. I wanted to walk home. I didn't want to fly home. But just watching that game, I mean, I pretty much watched every snap of that game. Jalen Hurts looked great. I mean, we're, you know, maybe the Eagles have something going here. That might be the team to win the division with the way they look. Maybe that's just a great game against the Falcons.
Whoa. You have the Washington football team going to the Super Bowl.
I do. But if you're a betting man, that might be a good bet to place. That might be
after week one, you're retracting from your Super Bowl pick.
No, I'm not. I'm still sticking with Washington, but they looked good. I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. Miles Sanders looked great. He looked very shifty. That's another guy that seems to, you know, can't stay on the field, but he looked awesome. And then Devontae Smith, the Heisman from last year, he caught a bomb and it looked great. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. They went nuts down there when I was up
there. Great route.
Oh my God, man. He's going to be something. The Falcons offense, I mean, there's not really much to talk about. I mean, Matt Ryan had 164 passing yards. That's all you need to know. That is all.
Well, maybe the running backs had a good game. What were their stats?
Cordell Patterson, 7 carries for 54 yards. Mike Davis, 15 carries for 49 yards. So
I'm glad you had to say that out loud.
Yeah, I guess he has the volume, and we'll give it to him at the goal line whenever the fuck we get to the goal line. But I don't know. Ridley and Pitts had 8 targets each. You know, hopefully this looked like the worst offense in week one. So hopefully that's not a trend. I'm an owner of Calvin Ridley. If I see it again next week, I'm going to be pushing the panic button and I'm going to try to trade him. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's too good, but we shall see. Browns Chiefs. That was an awesome game.
This was a great game. This is probably my top 3 games of the week.
I agree. 29-33. Chiefs pull it out at the end.
Quick comeback.
You know, with some quick comeback. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill magic. And, you know, we talked about this previous show. Game and the momentum could change on you very, very quickly.
Yep.
Very quickly.
Nick Chubb was dominating. Yeah. I saw some fans in the Brown Stadium with the Chubb Hub shirt. I think that's going to catch on. He's just a beast, man. I mean, Kareem Hunt even scored a 2-point conversion. Really, you could start both backs because they run the ball so well and they both can catch. So if you're in a PPR league, especially, I mean, you can really start Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Obviously, if you don't have both, you can start either one and Chubb is going to be the better performer, but Hunt will still get you good enough points to be an RB2 or a flex.
For sure. Edwards-Helaire, he had an okay game, 43 rushing yards, 3 catches for 21 yards. He didn't give you what you wanted. And, like, the very frustrating part about it, I don't have him. I didn't want him this year. The Chiefs ran, like, a goal line play to a lineman instead of giving it to Helaire. And, like, geez, like, that's got to be the worst shit. I think they ran, like, a screen or something to the lineman for a touchdown, trying to get a touchdown. I don't know if he even scored. But it's like, damn, you have Helaire. You can't just give him the ball to go up the middle. Like, that's going to be a little concerning. Hopefully that's not – that's not going to be a trend, but a quiet game for him. Tyreek Hill goes nuts, 15 targets, 197 yards. Kelce scores twice. I mean, you talk about Kelce and McCaffrey, those two guys showed you why, you know, who they are, like why they are who they are, basically. So, I mean, these guys are amazing. They're productive and they are always going to be top fantasy picks. Do the Browns bounce back from this?
Yeah. I mean, the majority of people have the Chiefs as a Super Bowl pick, either going or winning the Super Bowl. So the Browns holding a lead against them, only losing by a couple of points. I'm not hanging my head at that at all. It's a great week one performance. They looked good. Baker could have had a better game.
But they ran the ball well.
That's what he does.
I felt like Baker had a chance towards the end there, and he just couldn't convert. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe once they get OBJ back from injury, you know, hopefully that will open up some things for their offense as well, because that's a player that you're going to have to respect when he's out there. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Packers Saints. We've had some hate mail in regards to the Saints here. So we'll talk about that. That was the most surprising, right?
Yeah, that's what I had on the biggest surprise. It was
Saints jumped up early 17-14-0, 17-0, and just really didn't look back.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers threw 5 picks last year. He had at 1.2 picks in 3 attempts. And, you know, one of them was one of those, you know, long third down ones where you're back to the end zone. You just chuck it as far as you can. And hopefully the guy gets it. But if not, it's a pick and a tackle. But turns out that pick was returned 50 yards, so it didn't even work for him. That's the type of night it was for the Packers. And right. All the memes of LASIK James Winston. I had LASIK surgery, so I can attest.
The dude was unstoppable.
He was throwing some deep bombs. He wasn't asked to do a lot in terms of yardage or completion, but getting right. the ball in the end zone is the name of the game, and he did a lot of that. Five touchdowns last week.
14 on 20 for 148 yards. I'm just going to leave it as is. I'm not going to call it fluky, but it is what it is. What I do want to point out is the backup running back for Kamara. Whoever has Kamara, Tony Jones had 11 carries. I don't know if that's more towards just game flow, game got kind of got out of hand, take Kamara out. But that's sort of a handcuff that you want to keep your eye on. The receivers, I mean, I don't really – Juwan Johnson got two touchdowns. I think he's a tight end. I don't even know. These names you don't really know. I really wouldn't want to mess with a Saints receiver, but, I mean, you might want to keep your eye on it if Jameis keeps this up.
Yeah, you're definitely going to keep an eye on because, like, the touchdowns are nice, but less than 150 yards as a quarterback means each receiver is fighting for, like, 30 yards, and that's not really a fantasy production. You don't want to rely yeah. on a touchdown guy if it's not consistent. So it's still too early from a fantasy perspective. But like we had talked about last week on this show, I think the Saints defense is amazing. They haven't lost yeah. a step. And, you know, Drew Brees last year versus Jameis this year is not that much of a downgrade. And even he said it on the halftime show, like they have a deep arm guy now that's what they've been missing. So I think they're going to be fine. They're going to keep going.
If you're a Kamara fantasy owner, your team scores 38 points. You know, Kamara runs for 83 yards and only has 8 receiving yards. Are you concerned or are you still moving forward?
No. He's if you drafted him, you drafted him in the first 3-4 picks, you start Absolutely. Him every week. Don't get cute with fantasy. You start those guys until they get hurt or if they get hurt. If not, you just yeah. let them ride.
For sure. We'll transition to the Denver Broncos versus the New York Giants. 27-13 Broncos. Going to the Meadowlands and really beat up on the Giants here. Teddy Bridgewater had a great game, solid game, 28 for 36, two touchdowns, 264. Melvin Gordon breaks a huge run towards the end there. Jerry Jeudy goes down, you know, so just kind of whatever and whatever for this game. The Broncos backfield is a little interesting. It's a little tricky. I'd stay away from it. Noah Fant had a solid game as a tight end, had 8 targets. The Giants, Saquon, man, 10 attempts for 26 yards. Not a single run went for more than 5 yards. It didn't look good. I don't know if it was just rust or whatever it is, but are you concerned?
Yeah, I mean, Saquon already has an injury history. I'm not a huge fan. I know you have to draft him early first round just because he's not going to be there otherwise. But a guy who can potentially get hurt and miss 4 or 5 games in a year, you really need him to dominate every game he plays. A game where sure. he gives you like 3-4 points, just those hurt because you're going to start him. And same thing happened to me when I had Rodgers. He got 1.2 points as yeah. a quarterback. That is, you know, that's unsustainable. But, you know, you can't have those number one picks do that for you. So I'm a yeah. little concerned with Saquon, but not much more than I already am because of his injury history.
Yeah. This might be another team that's throwing a lot as well. So we'll see what happens with the way their schedule goes. But the Sterling Shepard and Daniel Jones connection, that works. It's 7 mm-hmm. catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. That's not just a fluke. That's been consistent. When he's healthy, they produce. So, you know, keep your eye on Sterling Shepard. You know, maybe he's out there in a lot of your waiver wires out there. If you're in need of a flex player or wide receiver. Dolphins Pats came down to the wire. Dolphins eke it out 17-16. Tua had a pedestrian type of game. Mac Jones looked solid, very mm-hmm. solid. Damian Harris, sort of another day at the office for him, 23 carries, 100 yards. You know, anything you want to say about the Dolphins Pats?
No, it's just that my wild card prediction team of the Dolphins getting a big win. Yeah. You know, those division yeah. wins are going to be big, especially with yeah. the Bills losing.
Yeah. Another one of those rookie wide receivers, Jalen Waddle, caught him a touchdown as well, 61 receiving yards. The Patriots wide receivers, I kind of want to mention a name, Jacoby Myers, had 9 targets, only 44 yards. But I think, you know, Nelson Aguilar scores, but I think Jacoby Myers will be their number one, you know, wide receiver at the end of the year. So another guy to keep an eye on as well come second half of the season.
Better than Nikhil Harry.
Oh God, yeah.
That dude blocked his own. He got destroyed. Did you see that play where he was trying to block?
I didn't.
So it was a kind of a sweep left, right? And he's the receiver on the left side. So the running back's coming left. He needs to block on the outside left to get the guy to turn the corner. Instead, he turns right and tries to block his own offensive lineman, the pulling guard, who just runs him over. It was disgusting. I'm going to find that and post it on the story. But when I saw that, I was just like, ooh.
That's tough.
It's not a good look for week one. Belichick is going to kill him in the film.
That is tough. Sunday night, you got the Chicago Bears and the Rams. The Rams looked
good. Matty Stafford.
I mean, my God. First touchdown was a bomb. He looks happy. He looks hype. Everybody around him is sort of just – everything was clicking for these guys. That team is going to be scary. You know, the defense, you already know what they bring with Aaron Donald and the corner out there, but it's going to be good, man. He had three touchdowns, 321 yards. The ball was spread everywhere. Mm-hmm. Darrell Henderson was doing his thing. I know a lot of Cooper Kupp was killing it, bro. 7 catches, 108 yards. The big number that sticks out to me, 10 targets.
Yep.
So, you know, these guys are going to be productive. I know Robert Woods didn't do much, but he scored 3 catches, 27 yards, and he touchdown, but I think that's also going to start to pick up as well. Matt Stafford's arm is too good not to, you know. For the guys that have Sony Michel, he didn't really do much. It's still too early. They still got to get him involved in the offense. He's still got to – it's way too early. But that's a player second half that you want to kind of keep your eye on. David Montgomery, what you think about that, man? He was running hard. And it's not a player for me. I just can't do it. I've been burned before. but had a solid game.
Yeah, no, he's good. And the Bears, even when they were down, they were like, we're going to stick to our game plan. We're going to make this short down and distance as much as we can and run the ball and keep the defense honest. That's one of the teams that maybe could have thrown 50 times because they were down for the majority of the game, but held strong and didn't. And I think he's a good player. Again, he's not for me either, but I like it nowadays in the league because there's so much running back by committee. I almost need a running back to get me 5 catches or at least three catches a game in addition to 50, 60 yards rushing.
Whatever he's doing. Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't start him.
Allen Robinson, 6 catches, 35 yards. It's another kind of you might find a owner in your league hitting the panic button, freaking out. I would pump the brakes a little bit. He had 11 targets. So, you know, maybe is that sort of the defense? Is that the corner? You know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'd probably just stick on it. He's going to have the target share for that team.
Yeah. And you've got to talk a little bit about the Bears as well. Justin Fields came in, got a touchdown, obviously didn't start. I know your prediction is week 2. Do you still hold it? He started next week or did Dalton do enough?
I do. My prediction is whenever they go back home, I don't know who they play next, but when they're in Chicago, and Andy Dalton comes out and he's stinking up the joint, they're going to turn on him and they're going to be calling for Fields' name to come out. So my prediction still stays the same, game 2.
So you think they pull Dalton mid-game or they name Fields a starter?
I think they pull him mid-game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He looked electric. I would say electric, but when he got in, he looked good.
The energy of the crowd went crazy. Everybody looked, was just like
– right. He ready. Looked good. And everyone's ready for it, like you said. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me the Chicago crowd is not going to be ready for that. So we'll see. Perfect. The Ravens and Raiders last night opened up the new – you know, they didn't really open up the new stadium, but first time for fans in the stadium. The first time for the Eli Manning.
That was awesome.
Phenomenal. Like, it was amazing. Like, I was sitting there just drooling. And the funny part is with Peyton, like, I was telling my brother, I was watching him with my brother. I was like, yo, Peyton, like, you could tell he still cares for this. Mm-hmm. Like, he still wants it. Like, especially towards the end, he's holding a football. Like, I can tell, like, and he would freak out, like, when something happens, you know. Yep. Maybe he'll become offensive coordinator one day. You never know.
Nah, man, I love that vibe because, like, it's literally like the way he had announced it. It's going to be, like, a conversation with a bunch of friends with football in the background. And that's exactly how the majority of everybody, especially us, like when we watch football, that's what we do. We're talking about something random and then Google play happens. Oh, why'd you see that? Like there, he in the first quarter, he had Charles Barkley on. And, you know, they were talking about his golf swing and how they had the match against each other and Barkley won. Yeah, but Barkley and I think it was Phil Mickelson, it was his teammate, and they won. They beat Peyton and his teammate. And all of a sudden it was a 30-yard gain and everybody's reacting to it. And then immediately Peyton and Eli dissecting how the play was and going to the coverage. We even posted a story. I think you were when they were winded mid game.
That was amazing.
Did a detailed breakdown right there. Like, oh, I love Peyton Manning, obviously, as a Colts fan. And they brought a good sense of just actual football calls instead of dumbed down announcer talk, as well as, you know, poking fun with friends while the game is on. And if the game was as entertaining as it was this Monday night itself, then that brings a great conversation for sure.
Absolutely. And in the section with Russell Wilson, I caught all of that. I mean, they were calling out before the snap happened. You know, they were calling out the defense. They were breaking out the defense. And not on top of that, they were like, hey, because of this defense, look out for this player. And Russell Wilson called it on the dime and on that big catch. So it was very interesting. So into the game, very back and forth, kind of hectic and weird at the end there. I mean, I don't know what the Raiders were like trying to lose the damn game. Lamar Jackson fumbles it a couple times, one fumble late, which hurt. You know, he was just laying there just like, oh, God. But what's your thoughts on how the game ended?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the fumble, but even right before that was the dropped catch that ended up being a pick in the end zone for Derek Carr right before they thought they already won the game, but his knee ended up being down. So like it was a crazy ending all around, but Lamar Jackson's got to protect the ball. He has problem with a lot of running quarterbacks is when they get hit or when they get sacked, rather, it's because they're thinking of running. They're not thinking about protecting the ball. Think about escaping and breaking the guy down that they end up having the ball a little bit too carefree and they fumble it. So he had two fumbles lost, both big, big game changers. And, you know, the Raiders ultimately finally capitalized on a wide open game winning touchdown throw that Derek Carr threw beautifully. I mean, those last two rainbows in OT. Plus, I mean, we don't even talk about he had 37 seconds with no timeouts to get a field goal. And he went middle of the field twice and got
twice on a rocket too. Mm-hmm. It was just a thread the needle type. And you could see Eli and Payne's reaction, like, okay. It's like people want to buy into Derek Carr, but they need to see it, but they don't believe it. It's weird. Like, I don't know how to describe that guy, but if you started him fantasy wise, I don't know how much people did start him, but 435 passing yards. I mean, that's a good bit. Darren Waller, the baller. Oh my God. 19 targets. And there was, and we were watching, you know, that game. He had a lot of drops, a lot of batted passes that he had ended up having 10 catches. He really could have had like 15, 17 catches. Really?
Yeah. He's technically listed at tight end, but he's wide receiver one on that team.
Yeah, he is a monster. He is a monster. The Josh Jacobs, would if you had him on your fantasy team, would you try to go ahead and trade him? Like, he scored twice. Is this a sell high kind of player? I think he is.
I like him. I mean, he's a consistent running back. Injuries could play a part, but that's all running backs have to deal with that, right? And I think the Raiders itself is going to be – the best lock is Darren Waller on that team. Second best lock is probably Josh Jacobs and then Derek Carr.
I don't know, man. With Josh Jacobs, man, he only had 10 carries for 34 yards and two touchdowns, sure, but the Raiders got down there with a pass interference that kind of gifted him a touchdown in the sense. You pull that touchdowns away, I mean, I think he's a sell-high candidate. I think if you're an owner of him, you try to package him up and get him out of there and sell high. You know, maybe you talk to the guy that has Zeke. Maybe you could get him for Zeke.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, if you can get him, throw in a package of a WR2 or a flex to get that. But, man, I'm excited for this season. If week one is any indication, we're in for a great year. A lot of competitive games. A lot of people who are hungry for winning. I mean, that NFC West is going to be the one that you keep checking on, that 4-0 murderous row that I'm going to be following them just almost as much as I'm following the Colts, just because it seems like they're going to put on a show every week, all four of those teams. So I can't wait.
pay close attention to our Instagram page and our story page. Come, you know, maybe Friday night, Saturday night, we'll dive into week two on our story for you and kind of predict who wins and kind of give you some nuggets here and there. So stay tuned to our Instagram page, and you could always find us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You know, we'll appreciate your support.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening in to another episode of the In and Out Sports Podcast. The Simpsonator and I really appreciate you guys listening in, and we appreciate the support. Sammy, where can they find us?
You can find us on all the main streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and also on Instagram, in_N_OutPodcast. Leave us a follow, like, subscribe, comment, all the good stuff. We really appreciate all the feedback. And hope you guys listen to the rest of this journey. See you guys next week.
Peace.